That's great to hear that fellowship going on here. Before we look at the scriptures this morning, I just want to mention a few things. And it's so great to have support around us in our times of need. And I just want you to continue to pray for some folks today, for the Hudson family, for Mary and her family, and just continue to support them. And then also the Doucette and Halliday families. And there were two separate funeral services this week, one on Monday, one on Friday. And we just need to support these folks through these. Also, Vivian Johnson, she went out to the hospital this morning and just to get some medication for some shingles. And so just want to support Vivian also. Reg Sardi, he had his knee surgery. Not you, the other Reg. If it was you, Reg, we would say, what a miracle, right? But Reg had his knee surgery, knee replacement done on Monday, and so he's home recovering from that. And so we just wanted to, and it's good to see Stephen here today. We've been praying for Stephen. He went through a really rough time with these headaches and whatnot, and he's sitting here with us today, so we rejoice in that and continue to pray for Stephen. So. And then I also want to mention that, of course, this week is back to school. Yeah, it's the parents that are cheering, right? Yeah. Anyways, so our young people are back to school this week. And then we have some off to college also this coming week and some of our own. Michael's off to NSCC. Where'd Michael go? You disappear on? Oh, there he is over there. Michael's off to NSCC this week. Samantha is also off to school. Wyatt and Chris. Chris is off to school, isn't he? Richard? He's already there. Okay. And Josh is going off to school here, right? Okay. So I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. By the way, those of you who don't know, Richard and Lorraine and Josh are from England, and they are moving here to Canada. And so I think you'll remember they were with us last year for a few weeks as they checked out this country and decided they wanted to come. And so their son, Chris, is at Acadia, and they're going to be settling in here with us also. So just wanted to mention these things. Anything important that I missed this morning? Don't want to leave anything out. And, of course, this is sort of the last hurrah sort of thing. The last weekend, a long weekend. People are out camping, so a lot of folks are camping this weekend, but yet everything will wind up sort of, and we'll have a lot more people back with us in the next few weeks. So we're just going to pray together. And then we're going to consider some thoughts today from the Word of God. Father, we thank you again this morning, Lord, for meeting with us. And Lord, we thank you for the testimonies, Lord, that we even heard this morning, Lord, of you speaking to hearts, touching hearts. And we just thank you, God, for the salvation that you freely offer. Lord, it's such a wonderful offer, or such a wonderful gift, Lord, if we'll just simply receive that gift that you've given for each and every one of us. The Lord Jesus came and gave his life that we might have life, and we thank you, Lord, for that blessing. Lord, we pray for your continued comfort and grace, Lord, in lives, Lord, for Mary, Lord, and her family. And Lord, we just ask, God, that you just give them grace, Lord, as they still process through their grief, Lord, at the loss of Greg. And we just ask, God, that you just minister to this family. But most of all, Lord, we ask, God, that even, Lord, through this situation, you would draw them to yourself, Lord, and Lord, in salvation, and Lord, also, Lord, in comfort. And Lord, for the Halliday and Doucette families, Lord, we just pray for them, Lord, as they also have experienced grief this week, and we just ask, God, that you'll minister to their hearts, Lord. And Lord, it's just a reminder for us once again, Lord, that, Lord, no matter what the age, Lord, no matter what the stage of life, Lord, we need to be prepared, Lord, if you do call us. And so we just ask, Lord, for these families, that you give them strength, Lord, through this. And Lord, we pray for Vivian as she's gone out to the hospital this morning. We pray, God, that you would quickly, Lord, touch her and give her healing, Lord, from this ailment. And we just ask, God, your blessing on her. Thank you, God, that she's trusting in you, Lord, even in this. And we pray for Reg, Lord, as he recovers from his surgery. Lord, a lot of pain involved. And we just ask, God, that you'll give him grace and strength. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you'll continue, Lord, to help Stephen, Lord, as he recovers. And just give him, Lord, a sense of your peace, Lord, even through this. And Lord, for all our students that we've mentioned, we ask, God, as they go back to school, Lord, you'll help them to stand firm and stand strong, Lord, for you. Lord, where you've called them, whether it's in the elementary school, the high school, Lord, or away at college, Lord, help them to stand firm, Lord, for you and in your grace. And so we just ask, God, for these things, Lord, as we begin, Lord, even a new season of ministry, Lord, as the fall comes. We just asking God for your direction, Lord, for your guidance. And we're asking God that you would just, Lord, show us the way, Lord, how that we can reach out to our communities, Lord, with your love. So we ask your blessing, Lord, as we consider your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, September's here, and it's going to be a startup for many things. But there's one thing that I want to focus on this morning a little bit is this event that we're going to hold in 2 weeks, is National Back to Church Sunday. And it's a time that we take a special opportunity. We never let up on the fact of proclaiming the gospel. We never let up any time of the year in encouraging people to come and trust Christ. But this is kind of a special emphasis that we'll put on once a year, just to say, you know, we want to make a special effort and a special drive to encourage people to come to church, or to come back to church, or to consider the claims of Christ in their life. And perhaps this morning, this session will take on sort of the appearance of a high school pep rally. I hope it does, sort of as a motivator, as sort of a rally to say, you know, come on, let's get behind this, let's do this, let's go out and let's invite, as you know, just get on your big bike and, you know, go invite someone, you know. Whatever it is, whatever situation, circumstance you find yourself in, we can take the opportunity to invite. If you're visiting with us today, we're glad that you've joined us, because, you know, this is sort of our beginning of what we want to see done in the next few weeks. I heard a story about a guy, and he complained to his mother that he didn't feel like going to church that morning. And his mom said, "What are you talking about? Get out of bed and get going. Why on earth would you stay home from church?" The man responded, "I'll give you two reasons. First, I don't like those people. And second, they don't like me." His mother said, "Well, I'll give you two reasons you should go. First of all, you're 49 years old. And second of all, you're the pastor." Well, neither my mother nor my wife forced me out of bed this morning to be here. I'll guarantee you that, okay? I chose to come here today, and I came to church today to tell you why you should come to church today, okay? Is that fair? I came to tell you why you should come. That's what we're going to do today. And why you should also want to invite your friends to come to church with you, especially in 2 weeks' time on our Back to Church Sunday, but any week. And as we mentioned, September 16th is National Back to Church Sunday, and it's an event that's held across our nation, and we're joining with thousands of other churches in doing this particular event. And so that's why I want to encourage us to get behind this and get involved in this today. So I want to do two things this morning. I want to tell you why you should want to bring your friends to church, and then I'm going to show you why you should bring your friends to church for this special event. There are several reasons why we come to church. Here's the first reason. The first reason I come to church is because I want to grow. In every area of life, we want to grow, don't we? I think it's true. No matter where we are in life, we want to grow. And grow in the sense that we want to learn something new. We want to learn how to do things better. We want to learn. We want to advance. That's why some people want to learn, because they want to advance. They want to get that promotion. They want to advance in the company and get better pay and all those things. They want to perfect their craft or perfect their art, so to speak. And so we want to grow. That's why there's so many people on the golf course this morning, isn't it? They want to perfect their craft. And they keep going out there week after week trying to get good at that game, and they rarely do, but they that's why they're out there, okay? And we all want to grow. And as believers, that should be our desire here today, is that we come here because we want to grow. And the scripture tells us this: but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. And so the scripture says that as believers, our desire ought to be to want to grow in Christ. And as we gather together weekly, this is the place where we discover how we can fulfill our God-given potential. This is where we discover how we can engage with the church. This is the place where we learn what our gifts and abilities are. And weekly worship attendance is really the most important behavior to spark spiritual growth within us. And so that's why we gather together, to spark this spiritual growth within us. And as we come to this church each week, we expose ourselves to God's word. We expose ourselves to God's people. And it helps us to keep our priorities and the things that are important in life in place. And so that's why I'm here today, and I want to encourage you to do the same. The second reason we come to church is that we want to do what God says. We want to do what God says. Throughout the scriptures, we are given instruction and commands, such as the scripture tells us, "Let us do good to all people, but especially those of the household of faith." The scripture says, "Serve one another in love." The scripture says, "Submit yourselves to your spiritual authorities." We're encouraged to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're encouraged to be taught. We're encouraged to worship the Lord. And then in Hebrews it reminds us, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together." And those are the commands of God. And if you were to look through the scripture, you'll see about 30 different commands that are given for us to gather together, to join together as the body of Christ. And so I come to church because I want to do what God says. I want to be obedient to him. A third reason that we come to church is that we want to be around people who sharpen us, make us better individuals. We want to be around people who have similar goals, similar values that we have embraced through Christ. The Proverbs tell us, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And so that's one of the reasons that we get together with people of like-minded faith, is so that we can sharpen and encourage each other. And sometimes the sharpening process stings a little bit. Sometimes it hurts a little bit, but yet it's a necessary thing. How well do you do with a dull knife? Not very good, do you? And so you need to be sharpened. We need to be sharpened each and every week. The fourth reason that, and this may seem funny to you, but the fourth reason we come to church is that we want to live a longer life. This is a very safe place to be in church. And the Bible says that those who take to heart the words of God will live a longer life. And surveys actually verify this fact, that those who attend church at least 3 out of 4 weeks, weekends a month, live on average about 7 years longer. Isn't that good news? If you come to church on a regular basis, you'll live on the average 7 years longer than someone else. Isn't that great? Maybe it isn't, but that's the truth. That's what the statistics tell us, that you'll live a longer life if you want. Okay, the next reason that I want to come to church is that I want to train my children well. So those who are in this situation in life, it's a great place to bring our children They can learn things in school. They can learn math and all of those subjects in school, but it's only here within the context of the body of Christ that they can learn to love God, that they can learn about Him and what He has for their lives. It's here that they get exposed to the love of God and the love of Christ. And they're downstairs doing that right now. And so we come because we want to train our children well. Here's another one that might be important. I come to church because I want to strengthen my marriage. I want to strengthen my marriage. You've probably heard statistics that indicate that divorce rate is the same amongst Christians and non-Christians. But actually, that's actually not a true statistic. Bradley Wright of the University of Connecticut has done some research, and he's found that Christians who rarely attend church divorce at a 60% rate. But Christians who attend church and seek to serve, that rate is about 38%. And so, you know, we don't want divorce at all. We don't want to see divorce at all, but the chances of avoiding divorce are better if we attend church on a regular basis together and as a family. And so that might be a good reason to attend church. Another reason to attend church is that I want a better outlook on life. I want a better outlook on life. It can help give us a better outlook on life. Studies show that people who attend church are more optimistic and hope-filled than non-churchgoers. And that's a good thing to strive for, is to have a better outlook on life. Because isn't that what we have in the gospel? We have a message of hope. Hope for eternity, but also hope for now. We have a God who's concerned about our eternal life, but we also have a God who's concerned about our everyday life, and it gives us hope, and it gives us that encouragement in our lives. And so we can have a better outlook on life if we attend church on a regular basis. And here's the next one. We attend church because we will receive rewards in heaven. You know that? If you are a follower of Christ and you strive to follow Him and serve Him, He's going to reward you one day in heaven. Scriptures tells us in Matthew, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store up treasure for yourself treasures in heaven." So what do you think Jesus meant by that? What do you think He meant by that when He gave us that particular verse? We don't necessarily come to Christ because of the things that we want. We come to Christ because he loved us and He gave Himself for us. We come, but yet He still says there's incredible rewards available for us when we come to Him, when we follow Him, when we serve Him. The scripture talks about crowns for faithful service. It talks about crowns for bringing others to Christ. It talks about, in the future, the responsibility of judging cities in His rule, to rule and reign with Him in His kingdom. And so there's rewards if we follow Him and we serve Him. Peter once said to the Lord Jesus, he said, "Lord, we have left everything to follow You." And the Lord responded to Peter by saying this. He says, "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or fields for My sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." Isn't that good news? That if we faithfully follow the Lord, He says He's going to multiply everything 100-fold. He's going to reward you abundantly for that. And as we mentioned before, there's over 30 commands in Scripture that tell us that can't be obeyed unless we're an active member in a local church. And really, we need the church's encouragement, support, and teaching so that we can reach our potential and those rewards that He has just mentioned there. The next reason that we attend church is that we want to be a part of a cause that's bigger than me. Isn't that true? There's so many people in the world, they just said, "I want to be part of something that's bigger than me." And so they join service clubs and different groups. But yet we're part of the body of Christ. We're part of this army that's seeking to bring the good news, to bring salvation to the world. That's what the church is about. That's what the church is for, to bring the message of hope to the world. And we can be part of that. And that can bring this fulfillment. That can bring this joy and these things into our lives. And then number 10, I want to come to church because more people come to Christ in church services than any other place on earth. How many of you here could indicate that I came to Christ in a church service much like this? Look, a large number of people came to Christ in a service like this. I did myself in an evangelistic meeting. And so many people come to Christ because they come and they willingly come and listen to the message of the gospel and are saved. And it's exciting to be part of that and to be there when somebody, even someone you bring, comes and they trust Christ as Savior. So these are good reasons for us to come to church. And we're talking to ourselves mainly as believers here today. And to be encouraging to those who will come and find Christ just like we did. Now, with a little bit of time that we have left, I want to show you some examples of what happens when we bring people into a spiritual environment. When we bring people into a spiritual environment, what would happen? I'm going to look at John chapter 1, first of all. John chapter 1, I'm going to go from verse 35 through to verse 42. John chapter 1, verse 35 to 42. I'm going to read this and you can follow along, or I think it'll be on the screen. John chapter 1, verse 35 says this: "Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, 'What do you seek?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, when translated, 'teacher,' 'where are you staying?' And he said to them, 'Come and see.' And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus." You see what happened there? You know, Andrew had found the Messiah. As soon as he had recognized Jesus as the Messiah, what did he do first? He went and he found his own brother, Simon. That was his first response. He said, "Wow, this is something. We found the Messiah. I got to tell Simon. I got to tell my brother." And it says, and he went and he brought him to Jesus. And this is a real reason in our lives why we should invite people to come to church with us. And here are the reasons. We should invite people to church with us because people who meet Jesus are so moved by him that they want to introduce him to those that they care about. Think back in your own life when you came to trust Christ as Savior. Did you want to keep it to yourself? I hope not. I hope that you were just bursting and saying, "Wow, look what I found. Look what happened to me. And now I want to tell somebody else." I can remember the night I became a Christian, and I was just so elated. And I just wanted to tell everybody about it. I remember I went home that night, and I must have walked around my kitchen table about 38 times. You know, just excited, just because I wanted to tell somebody. I wanted to tell my parents and what had happened to me that particular night. And when we come to trust Christ and it's real to us and it's just that so awesome experience in our life, we want to tell others. And this is what Andrew did when he met Jesus. He said, "The first thing I got to do, I got to go tell Simon. I got to go tell my brother about this person that I found is the Messiah." This is the reason that Christianity and our faith is the largest movement on earth today. It's because people who meet Jesus really want to introduce them to their friends. And really the number one place that people are introduced to Jesus are in services and gatherings like this. And each week as we go about our own business, as we go about our daily routine, we have conversations with people that we care about. people that we love and people that are acquaintances. And we have opportunities to interact with them. And really, when God gets a hold of our hearts, we want to tell them about what has happened to us. And that's what happened to Andrew. You know, we found the Messiah. Now I got to tell my brother. And that should be our response to it. We're just going to go forward a little bit in our scripture to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And in John chapter 4, it's a very familiar story here also. Jesus and his disciples were traveling through Samaria, and they came to a city named Sychar. It was outside of town, and as they reach it, Jesus said, I'm gonna stop here and rest for a while. You guys go into town and get some food for us. And so the story goes, while they were in town, a woman came to the well and to get water. And this is 3 miles out of town. This is in the middle of the day. Why would this woman come to this well? Because it's outside of town, because she doesn't feel comfortable mingling with the people of this town. She came at noon because she didn't want to be seen. She didn't want to interact with other people because everyone in the Middle Eastern cultures fetches water in the morning and in the evening before the sun gets hot or after the sun has lost its heat. And water is heavy, so no one wants to carry water at noon. But this woman was here at this time because she doesn't want to meet anyone. She's an outcast from her own society because, as they would say, she slept with almost every man in the village. And so as she approaches the well, Jesus strikes up a conversation with her. And in the midst of their conversation, she decides that he must be the Messiah, that he must be the one. And in verse 28, we read this: "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, 'Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' And they went out of the city and came to him." And this woman who previously, she didn't want to talk to anyone in her town until she met Jesus. And then she went and she told them, and she invited them to come and meet Jesus. We should invite people, because people who meet Jesus are so moved by him that they want to introduce everyone to him, including those who don't care about them. You see what happened, the transformation that happened in this woman's life? You see what happened to this woman? She even wanted to tell people who didn't care a lick about her. She told them also about Jesus. She said, "Come and see. Come and meet a man who is the Messiah." And so this week we're going to have encounters with people, perhaps people who don't like us, people who don't care about us, but yet we care about them. We care about them. Why? Because we know who the Messiah is. People perhaps who put us down, who condemn us, who make fun of us, perhaps people who will ridicule us if we talk about it, but yet we should be so moved with the love of Christ that we're willing to share the gospel even with people that don't care about us. And that's just a reflection of how deeply Jesus has touched our lives, whether or not we will share it with someone who doesn't even like us. There's another account, and it's back in the Old Testament, in the book of 2 Kings. And 2 Kings in chapter 5, I just want to refer to this quickly. It takes place in a time when in Israel's history when the northern of Kingdom of Israel was at war with his neighbor Syria. Does that sound familiar? Israel at war with Syria? Kind of a familiar sounding thing right now, isn't it? In that day, Syria, who in this story is called Aram, was much stronger than Israel. From time to time, the Syrians would invade Israel and carry Israelite children into slavery. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we read these verses. It says, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.'" And see, what's interesting about this story is this girl has been taken captive. She's been taken away from her family. She's been taken away from her home. And now she lives in a culture that's not her own, with a people who are not her own. They don't speak her language. They don't love her. People use her. She was once free. Now she's a slave with no prospect of ever being released. But here, in this particular account, she does something that's extraordinary. When her master, Naaman, is stricken with leprosy, she encourages him to go to Israel for a cure. She encourages to go to Israel to be cured. Why does she do this? Because thirdly, people who have been touched by God are so moved by him that they want to introduce him to everyone, including their enemies. We want to introduce Jesus to our friends, right? Our family. We will even introduce him to those who don't like us. But yet, here's the third one, to introduce them to even their enemies. That's quite an extraordinary thing. And so she says to her master, go to Israel and you'll get cured there. And that's true. There are all kinds of sicknesses in our world. We know people who've suffered from many, many different things. And the Bible even tells us that we all have a universal sickness, a universal disease, and it's called what? Sin. It's called sin. And we've got a terminal case of sin, each and every one of us. The Bible makes it very clear of that. It is appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. And we were reminded of that even this week. But God's word teaches us that the only cure for sin is the saving grace of Jesus Christ. John the Apostle told us that we were once in darkness and that Jesus came to deliver us. And in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, we read this. But to all who receive him, receive Jesus, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children, not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of man's will, but born of God. And so Jesus came to deliver us from this terminal case of sin. And so each of us has people in our lives, loved ones, acquaintances, and even enemies who we would like to see come to know and trust Christ as Savior. And that's our challenge today. That's our encouragement today. It's just to take these few thoughts and just challenge our own hearts. Whether or not we will, first of all, be faithful to God's own body, his own church. And then use that as a catalyst to help us reach out to those around us. Back to Church Sunday is one of those strategic times that we're going to invite people to come to Christ right in church. And then after that, we'll invite them to come back and to grow, to worship, and to fellowship with us. And on the back table, we've provided some resources to help you invite other folks to come. I highly recommend that book that's back there. And I recommend that everyone take a book. And I've got more of them. So don't worry about that you'll take the last one off the table. I got more of those booklets. I encourage you to take those booklets and to read it yourself, first of all, and then to share it with someone else. And to use some of these invite cards, use some of these things, and just encourage people to, first of all, come out and then encourage them to come and trust Christ. And you don't need to give them all the explanations of why that I gave you this morning, but perhaps you could do something as simple as that. You could take one of those cards and just write them a little note and said, you know, on September 16th, you know, I want to invite you to come to church with me. Would you come with me? You know, you could say that, write that, just something as simple as that. And that's really all you need to say. Would you come? Would you come with me? And see what we have, and see what we know, and see what we do. And then we just need to pray and ask God to give us boldness and wisdom. And as we do that, then God, we're confident, will do the rest. And so we want to encourage you today. You know, there's good reasons for us to be here as believers to gather together, and there's good reasons for us to reach out to those around us. And you know, it just became so so much more real to me this week as we walk through the steps of grief this week with families, walk through sickness with individuals, you know, how short our time, how fleeting our time in this earth is. But the Bible tells us that there's hope and that there's a gift of salvation available. And we don't know. We have to be prepared at any time. And that's our challenge. And that's our goal as a church and as a group of believers, as the body of Christ, to reach out so people have this hope. So people will receive this gift of salvation, will receive Christ. And the only way they can find that is through the person of Jesus Christ. It's him that we have to introduce them to. And just like Andrew, he first went and found his brother Simon, and he brought him to Jesus. That's where we need to be. That's where we're heading as a body, as a group. So it's very clear what we're about here. There's a hymn that says, "Take the name of Jesus with you." And as we leave here today, that's what we go with. We go armed with perhaps some of these thoughts, this encouragement, but most of all, we go with the name of Jesus, the only one who can save. We're going to sing this hymn. The worship team's going to come back, and we're going to sing this as we finish today. It says, "Take the name of Jesus with you. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven." And this is the name that you need to call upon today for salvation. This is the name that you need to trust for life, for eternal life, and also for your everyday life. And if you've not trusted Christ as Savior, this is your opportunity. And as a believer, can we take the challenge to follow him and to be that witness with those around us? Let's stand together and sing this one.